The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hamas's military wing, unseen throughout the conflict, down in tunnels firing rockets, has emerged from hiding to show it has not been destroyed. As the militants paraded through the streets, Gazans looked on with overwhelming support.
Hamas is seeing a wave of popularity after this latest round of violence, presenting itself as the sole defenders of the Palestinian people, the only ones willing and able to stand up to Israel.
That's from ABC, I believe. Richard Engel. He's been reporting from the Middle East for many, many years. And there he is talking about the Hamas terrorists firing from tunnels. Firing rockets, evidently, from tunnels. In fact, they fire those missiles right next to residential neighborhoods, children's playgrounds, hospitals, media centers. They use women and children as shields, but you'd never know it. Watching the propaganda media, you would never know it. Then he talks about a wave of popularity. That's right. Hamas is popular. Everybody loves Hamas. Well, if you're an American leftist, you love Hamas. But that's not the case with many other parts of the world, as Richard Palmer brought out last night in his Trumpet brief. I'll come to that here in just a second. You're listening to Stephen Flurry, and this is the Trumpet Daily. You can get to the live broadcast, the live stream of this program every day at this time at the trumpet.com website. Just go to thetrumpet.com/live, and you can get to this program. You can also get to the podcast, of course, in case you miss it live. We're also happy to be broadcasting on CRN Digital Talk Radio. We just started with this yesterday, and from all that I understand, everything went well for the broadcast on CRN. That, of course, is just radio, so we're happy to have them as a partner. But it's audio only. If you'd like to get the video presentation of this this program, as I say, just go to thetrumpet.com/live, and you can see our beautiful set here in central Oklahoma, just north of Oklahoma City, the Trumpet Daily set. Right here in the heart of the American Midwest. If you'd like to email the show, just write us at td@thetrumpet.com. Thetrumpet.com, of course, is our website. I referred to it a number of times yesterday, and we've got all kinds of literature here that we offer freely as well, and I'll plug a couple of them again on today's show. If there's any literature that catches your interest and you'd like a free copy or you'd like to subscribe to the Trumpet magazine, just call our operators. They're standing by to fulfill those literature requests. Just call 1-866-930-3024. That's 866-930-3024. That's a toll-free number if you're calling from the United States, Canada, or the Caribbean. If you would rather not call, of course, you can just go to our website, thetrumpet.com, and look for the literature tab, and you can get to any of the free offerings that we have, hundreds and hundreds of free offerings on that website. I should also mention, before we proceed, that Celtic Throne, I was able to see the dress rehearsal yesterday, the first performance for Celtic Throne. If you're interested in Irish music and Irish step dancing, Celtic Throne is for you, and over the next several weeks, The production will be performing in Edmond, Oklahoma, right here in Oklahoma, down in Texas, in Dallas, in Austin, Amarillo. There's shows coming up in Tulsa, Oklahoma. There's shows in Little Rock, Arkansas, and Memphis, Nashville, I believe, and then also Birmingham, Alabama. So right through the lower Midwest, and that'll be really starting at the end of May and going all the way through the month of June. So if you're near any of those locations I just rattled off, just go to CelticThrone.com And you can check the ticket availability at the website. Well, you heard the report from ABC, and as I say, just to help you actually understand the truth about Middle East, the Middle East in prophecy, Hamas, and of course we'll get to the communist infiltration here in the United States. That's what's motivating reports like what you just saw there, that, oh, it's a wave of popularity. All the Palestinians, they just love Hamas. They love seeing their neighborhoods blown up as Israel tries to take out those missile launchers. They just love it, don't you know? And also, I mean, they've just been firing away from their tunnels. Right, right. Those missile launchers are next to women and children, human shields. That's the truth. If only he'd have the courage, that reporter, to tell you the truth. Now, from Richard's trumpet brief last night, the trumpet brief, by the way, that's a daily email blast that we send out to tens of thousands of readers, just to keep you right up to date with what's happening in the news and to give you God's perspective behind the news. Here is Richard yesterday. He's talking about the state of Israel's relationship with the neighbors around Israel. That has improved immensely in recent years, largely because of the Abraham Accords. But Richard, in his trumpet brief, also talks about the support that Israel has gotten from European nations. I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. But he says here, the conflict, this is between Israel and Hamas, the conflict exposes just how radically different the Biden administration is from President Donald Trump's. It says, in just a matter of months, Israel's relationship with its most critical ally has crumbled. But another set of relationships has shifted, seemingly to Israel's benefit. Now, you're not going to get this on the reporting that you see coming out of the United States. Hamas wouldn't have Richard Engel in Gaza if they didn't know that he was going to give them favorable coverage. He has to. I went through some reports last week where it talked about what happens to reporters if they don't come out against Israel, if they don't trash Israel. That's what they're supposed to do. And Hamas has many in the international media that are willing to do that. But as far as support coming from other nations, it says here, you have, he quotes a tweet. This is from a Muslim preacher. It says, you have made Gaza a graveyard. This is from a Muslim preacher, and it's aimed at Hamas. He says, you've made Gaza a graveyard for the innocent and children, tweeted this Muslim preacher with 1.6 million followers. So a popular imam at that. It says, a popular Muslim preacher in the United Arab Emirates condemning Israel would not be news, but Youssef was actually blaming Hamas. And he's not alone. Now, again, I know there are plenty of left-wing propagandists who are there to talk about how wonderful Hamas is and how they're enjoying a wave of popularity. But what's the truth? What are the facts on the ground? Well, here's a Muslim preacher from the United Arab Emirates saying Hamas is to blame. You started this. Why did you start lobbing missiles into these Israeli civilian areas? You're trying to kill innocents. And then look at what's happened to your own land in Gaza because of Israel's retaliation. It says here, Hamas launches rockets from within civilian neighborhoods. And when the response comes, Hamas cries, "Where are the Arabs and Muslims?" This is, all part of the tweet. You have made Gaza a graveyard for the innocent and children. This is a Muslim preacher saying you're launching rockets from civilian neighborhoods, and yet you can't get that kind of truthful reporting on ABC. Throughout the conflict, they say, the propagandists in the media, throughout the conflict, you haven't seen Hamas. They've been down in the tunnels firing the rockets. That's a lie. They haven't been in the tunnels firing rockets. They've been in civilian neighborhoods, as is brought out in this tweet from a Muslim preacher. Geopolitical Futures, the founder, George Friedman, he noted that Both events are indicative of a significant shift in Arab sentiment toward events in Gaza. This imam's tweet, Saudi Arabia came out and condemned Hamas. You have stronger condemnation for Hamas in Saudi Arabia than you do in the United States of America because of this new fake administration, the illegitimate Biden administration. Richard said in his trumpet brief, across the Middle East, Arab messages of support for the Palestinians and condemnation toward Israel have been more tepid than usual. But this is not the only significant shift. So they haven't, it's been more tepid than usual condemning Israel. That's certainly been a storyline of the past. But the condemnations haven't been so strong this time around. In fact, you get some of those Arab countries condemning Hamas. Richard says this, the next attack on Israel's existence comes from the USA. That's a May 16 headline from Die Welt. That's a German publication. So here's a German publication saying that the attack, this next attack's coming from America. I mean, this is an astounding turn of events. It's all happened here just in the past few months. We've talked often about the inside job, the attack on America from within. And you say that you see that same spirit attacking little Israel in the Middle East. And of course, the devil's behind it all because he wants to blot out Ephraim, Manasseh, and Judah. He wants to blot out these biblical nations. Prophesied to emerge as, well, in the case of America, the single greatest superpower in world history. And of course, Judah was prophesied to have a state in these last days. These are all prophecies. I'll just have to leave it to you. This will certainly set the framework for you if you're interested in delving into Bible prophecy. This is Herbert W. Armstrong's classic. It went to more than 6 million addresses worldwide, the United States and Britain in prophecy. If you don't have this classic text in your library, as I said at the top, call our operators today. That's 1-866-930-3024. 866-930-3024. Call today and we'll send you a free copy of the U.S. and Britain in Prophecy out right away. So this is coming from a German publication. And the article says, Israel has always been able to rely on Washington, but the current conflict shows how far, listen to this, the current conflict shows how far the Democratic Party has slipped to the left. Demands by some congressmen are shaking the foundations of the Jewish state. This is a German publication basically saying what we said in America Under Attack back in 2013, that the radical left has a stranglehold. And but for those 4 years under the administration of Donald Trump, I mean, it would have been a continuous hold from Barack Obama to Hillary Clinton and on it goes. But God intervened back in 2016 and he's going to do it again. That's what your Bible says. I don't have time to get into all these prophecies. That's why we bring the literature up here, because we want you to take it upon yourself to delve more deeply into the words of God, the inspired words of God. 2 Timothy 3:16 says God inspired the Bible. How valuable is a book that was inspired by God? You can look into the Greek text in that passage, 2 Timothy 3, and see that it means God breathed. It came right out from God's mind. Now that's a book worth studying. That's a book worth studying every day. How many people do it though? Not that many. A lot of people don't even know what it says in the Bible. They might be familiar with a verse here or there. How about you? It says here, Israel has received more supportive statements coming from Germany. This is Richard writing. It says, we stand for Israel's right to self-defense, and that's why it is right that Israel is taking massive action, said German Chancellor Angela Merkel. Angela Merkel, she's all for massive action on the part of Israel. And yet, who wants to handcuff Israel? Who wants to twist Israel's arm behind its back? Who wants to say, you stop firing those missiles in response? That would be the United States of America. And of course, Hamas, too. Hamas got a little ways into the conflict and realized right away, we better back off here because they're devastating our infrastructure, our military infrastructure. It says here, Israel has received, well, I quoted that, German Foreign Minister Heiko Maas traveled to Israel over the weekend. He also supported Israel's right to defend itself against the massive and unacceptable attacks and promised that Germany's support is not limited to words. Wow. I mean, that's pretty strong support from Germany. Now, there's another prophecy. The Psalm 83 Alliance factors into this. Richard got into that at the end of his trumpet brief. And again, if you haven't subscribed to the daily trumpet brief blast, make sure that you do that at our website, thetrumpet.com. As I say, I just can't get into all of these details. But it says here, Israeli Foreign Minister Gabi Ashkenazi said, the fact that German Foreign Minister Heiko Maas is now visiting Israel while sirens are sounding is the clearest sign of solidarity and Israel-German friendship possible. So here are these other nations, the Arab neighbors around Israel, they're not coming out with these strong condemnations of Israeli action and self-defense. And then you've got pretty strong support from the heart of Europe. And of course, this factors in heavily to Bible prophecy. And then what a difference, when you look at the lack of support coming from the United States, coming from Washington, D.C. Stark contrast. It's not just Germany, by the way. France is increasingly looking upon Israel as an ally in fighting against radical Islam. Austria, for its part, it flew the Israeli flag over its chancellery building in Vienna on May 14th. So just 10 or 11 days ago, they were flying the Israeli flag, of all things. Do you think Ilhan Omar and the squad, the jihadists in Washington, D.C., do you think they'd put up with that for a moment if the Israeli flag was flying above the White House in strong support for Israel? The radical left would not put up with that. Here's the Austrian Chancellery building flying the Israeli flag on May 14. You contrast that with what's coming out of Washington, D.C. This is from Human Events. Just yesterday, it says a source within the Biden State Department, wishing to remain anonymous, has shared with Human Events a document that indicates that all U.S. diplomatic and consular posts are being encouraged to display shows of support for Black Lives Matter on Tuesday, May 25th, the one-year anniversary of George Floyd's death. So that would be today. And you've got Biden's State Department encouraging these diplomatic posts abroad to fly the Black Lives Matter flag in some cases. I mean, that is truly astounding. The memo reads in part, the department supports the use of the term Black Lives Matter in messaging content, speeches, and other diplomatic engagements with foreign audiences to advance racial equity and access to justice on May 25th and beyond. We encourage posts to focus on the need to eliminate systemic racism and its continued impact. This from Biden's State Department. Biden, remember, last week said, we're a good people. We're so good. Are we really? When you've got all of your top agents in your administration out there saying, we've got to talk about the systemic racism and its continued impact. China uses it against us. As soon as you talk about human rights abuses to Chinese officials, what happens? They start quoting Black Lives Matter. Listen, you've got your own problems. As you yourselves know, look at Black Lives Matter. It says here that the memo, which is part which is in part a woke statement on social justice, part an apology for U.S. actions, and part an endorsement of all BLM materials, expressly encourages the display of the BLM flag or banner at U.S. facilities, except on the actual flagpole that holds the American flag. So U.S. posts or facilities flying the BLM flag, even as the Austrian chancellery flies the Israeli flag, at least it did on May 14th. What a stark contrast. Here we are, going right around the world to promote this Marxist ideology. That's what BLM is. It's a Marxist movement. And they brag about it. They're not trying to hide it. They're not trying to conceal it. One of the co-founders, she describes herself as a trained Marxist. So let's put a flag up and really celebrate her and her movement. This is the United States of America. We've talked for decades about the communist infiltration, and I'll give you a quote to that end here in just a moment. The website, the BLM website, says it's a queer-affirming network that aims to disrupt. They want to disrupt the nuclear family structure. Dismantle, they use the word dismantle, patriarchal practices, and support villages that collectively care for each other. So, communism, in other words. We want to destroy capitalism. That's been the goal of the infiltration from the beginning. We want to upend the system. Revolution! And replace it all with communism. And as I read through you, or read last week, this article, again, at thetrumpet.com, it's not so much class warfare today as it is race warfare, a race struggle. And that's why BLM is right at the center of this movement. And you've got the fake presidency, the Biden administration, fully offering its hearty endorsement of this Marxist movement. Do you think the United States of America is under attack? Or is this just going to carry on? And it's, you know, we have our ups and downs here and there. Everything will straighten out. They will do anything to grab hold of power. We saw that on November 3rd. And they will do anything to maintain their grip, their stranglehold on power. We're seeing that every day. Did you know that BLM expressed its solidarity with Hamas just a week or two ago? This is a tweet they put out. Black Lives Matter stands in solidarity with Palestinians. We are a movement committed to ending settler colonialism in all forms and will continue to advocate for Palestinian liberation. Always have and always will. Fox News reported at the time of this tweet. Black Lives Matter stands in solidarity with Palestinians and vows to fight for Palestinian liberation. So we're seeing some pretty dramatic shifts. The Abraham Accords, the work of the Trump administration, bringing some of those nations in and around Israel or the neighborhood of Israel. And they're showing more support for Israel. Now, it's not going to last. Bible prophecy says there's a betrayal coming, an alliance between Germany and these more moderate Arab nations surrounding Israel. And they're going to turn on Israel in the end. But we'll leave that for another show. These are some dramatic shifts, though. And the support coming from Germany, from Saudi Arabia, from the UAE. And then look at what doesn't come from Washington, D.C., from the propaganda media. Ami Horowitz, he puts out 2-3 minute videos from time to time, just letting you peer into the minds of students at universities all over the United States. This video here, he put this together, I think, 4 or 5 years ago, and it's making the rounds again because it has to do with Hamas. And just listen to what these students say in response to Horowitz. He's basically pretending to represent Hamas, saying that he's seeking funds so that they can fund more suicide bombers and go after soft targets in Israel, cafes, schools, hospitals, things like that. and just listen to the typical university student in America today. This is clip two.
We're not your father's terrorist organization. We've kind of evolved beyond that. It's still kind of what we do, but we've kind of rebuilt and rebranded ourselves. And Hamas is where it's at. We're raising money to do what, you know, we do as Hamas. We want to fund operations against Israel. And, you know, the type of attacks we're talking about are cafes and schools and, you know, soft targets. Type of operations we're talking about against, you know, soft targets, schools and cafes and that kind of thing. Make them feel it. Hospitals and destroy cafes, you know, shopping malls and schools and place of worship. This is the kind of stuff we're talking about. Yeah, we want, you know, we're looking to destroy Israel. If you feel like donating to help the cause, to fight back, and that'd be great.
For sure, we'll definitely.
And maybe consider making a donation.
Sure.
Great.
Probably like $15.
$15? Yeah. No, that'd be great.
Maybe like $10, $20.
$15 to $20. $5 or $10.
Maybe like $10.
$5.
$10.
$10.
$5 or $10.
$10.
Let's say $27, since that seems to be my Bernie donation.
Now, it would be easy to just poke fun at them, but they're products of the modern system of education in the United States. Has communism, that ideology, has that infiltrated higher education in America? Well, you see evidence of it just right there. Of course it has. They're sitting in front of Marxist educators probably every day, just getting a steady diet of hatred. Hatred for Israel, hatred for America, and love for Hamas, and love for BLM, and love for rioting and burning, even murder. Propaganda. And there are the useful idiots. It's very sad to see that. Back to Richard's piece here. It says the most recent fighting with Palestinians has revealed a radical change in European foreign policy that's been years in the making. That's quoting from an article. And again, he points back to the Abraham Accords and the support for Israel, and how so many of these Arab states used to oppose Israel, at least more strenuously. But in some ways, Donald Trump helped to generate more support, even in the Middle East, for Israel. Listen to this from Richard. It says, the Abraham Accords seem to have eroded the Arab world's opposition to Israel, while the rise of the radical left in America seems to have made Europe the relatively better partner. But then Richard goes on and says that looks can be deceiving, and we have to look at what prophecy says regarding the Psalm 83 alliance. In any event, there are a lot of prophecies that are aligning and that square exactly with what we've been saying in the trumpet for so many years. As I say, if you haven't subscribed to our magazine, I brought a couple of issues here, this one from January of this year. But if you are not a subscriber, call our operators today, 866-930-3024, 866-930-3024. Let me just to give you, again, one more taste of this audacious attack on America. I mentioned yesterday here, the radical leftists are putting everything that they can into funding or supporting or getting enough votes for this January 6th commission. That's the only kind of violence that they're concerned about. Trespassing and disorderly conduct. Everything else that happened over the past year, they get a pass. They don't go to jail for that. In some cases, they got away with murder. Just like with David Dorn. Shot in cold blood as he tried to protect someone's storefront. That happened during one of the riots last summer. And the media, they're there to try to cover those things up. They don't care about those stories. They don't care about that black life. I can tell you that. So yesterday, the fake White House spokesman, she comes out and she's asked about this explosion of crime. Murder statistics up 20-30% across the United States in the big cities. I mean, there's just crime everywhere. And a reporter brings that up, and listen to how Jen Psaki responds to the question. Clip three.
a look back over the weekend and over the last year, this past weekend there were more than a dozen mass shootings across this country. 4,000 more people shot and killed by guns in 2020 compared to the year before. Is there a crime problem in this country?
Well, I would say certainly there is a guns problem.
She can't even say there's a problem with crime. Is there a problem at the border? Well, not really. No, it's, well, if there is, it was Donald Trump's fault. What about the explosion of violence and murder and crime in U.S. cities over the past 12 months? Is there a crime problem? And she wants to blame the gun because they want to take the guns away from the law-abiding citizen. And let the criminals, you see, in all of these examples, what are we seeing? What's the common denominator? With this illegitimate administration, with this communist government, there is strong support for the criminal elements all across our society. There is strong support for the Marxist movement that is known as Black Lives Matter, even Antifa. There is strong support for Hamas. And meanwhile, all of the self-hatred and the anti-Semitism, that's the one kind of racism, anti-Semitism, that's quite all right as far as the propaganda media is concerned. This is an attack on American institutions. It's an attack on the name of Israel. 2 Kings 14. And as I say, Herbert W. Armstrong, he's the one that wrote The United States and Britain in Prophecy, this wonderful book that gives you the framework of prophecy so that you can really understand the Bible. I mean, it's the key. Mr. Armstrong said it's like the master key to understanding Bible prophecy. A third of the Bible is prophecy. So we need to understand that third, not dismiss it, not overlook it, not ignore it, but turn to it. Jesus himself said over and again, I mean, the disciples were curious. Were they crazy and kooky in the first century for saying, Jesus, tell us what will be the end times or what's going to happen in the lead up to the return, your return to this earth? And Christ would tell them, well, look, there's going to be a lot of false prophets that come. And it's going to be just like before the days of Noah, before the flood. And it's going to be just like the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. This is what Christ was prophesying. Well, as far as this ideology, this Marxist cultural revolution, as I say, Herbert Armstrong was speaking of this not 5 years ago or 10, 20, 30, even 30 years ago. He, of course, died 30, 35 years ago. He was writing about this almost 70 years ago. He said this, what we fail to grasp in the struggle with Russia is this. We're not fighting a single nation in a military war, but a gigantic worldwide plainclothes army masquerading as a political party, seeking to conquer the world with an entirely new kind of warfare. He says it's a kind of warfare we don't understand or know how to cope with. It uses every diabolical means to weaken us from within, sapping our strength, perverting our morals, sabotaging our educational system, wrecking our social structure, destroying our spiritual and religious life, weakening our industrial and economic power, demoralizing our armed forces, and finally, after such infiltration, overthrowing our government by force and violence. It says all this cleverly disguised as a harmless political party. Communism is worldwide psychological warfare. Well, that prophecy about Jeroboam warring against this infiltration, fighting to secure what was stolen, like the election on November 3rd, fighting to expose the big lie like like the lie that the election was perfect, or that the protest on January 6th was an armed insurrection. Well, there's plenty more that we could get into, but I'll just leave it there for the moment. And again, encourage you, this quote I just gave to you, it comes right out of this book. He was right. And what this book does is it just basically brings all of the major prophecies that Herbert Armstrong, that's him on the cover, all of the major prophecies that he expounded upon over the course of his 50-plus year ministry, it brings it into one single volume, and this will bring you right up to speed, together with the United States and Britain in prophecy. I mean, it really will give you the groundwork, the foundation that you need to understand this third of the Bible that is Bible prophecy. Call our operators today and request your free copies of this material, the 800 number, the toll-free number, if you're in the United States and Canada or in the Caribbean. Just dial 866-930-3024. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to submit some feedback, you can email the show, td@thetrumpet.com. That's TD for Trumpet Daily at thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Freedom is one of the most sought-after ideals in human history. Man's search for freedom has taken him into the fiercest of protests, struggles, revolutions, civil wars, even world wars. Today, in the midst of free societies, many continue to fight for what they perceive as ever greater freedoms. And yet, many of these same people are actively fighting against law. Few people understand that this war against law actually undermines true freedom. To learn more, request Gerald Fleury's booklet, No Freedom Without Law. In this free booklet, you will see what the Bible says about the latter-day spirit of rebellion and lawlessness that is now so common in our nations today. Also request America Under Attack. In this booklet, you will learn more about the spirit behind this attack on law. You'll see where this is leading. Both booklets are offered freely at no cost or obligation to you. Request No Freedom Without Law and America Under Attack. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily.
In 2 Kings 16, you can read about the Israel king, Pekah, and the king of Judah at the time, Ahaz, and this war between Israel and Judah, or the Jews, they're referred to in this passage. Verse 3, it talks about Ahaz walking in the way of the kings of Israel. He was an evil king, in other words. He didn't obey God. But notice verse 5. This is 2 Kings 16 and verse 5. It says, "Then Rezin, king of Syria, and Pekah, son of Remaliah, king of Israel, came up to Jerusalem to war, and they besieged Ahaz, but could not overcome him." So here is, again, some critical history that you see the king of Israel joining forces with the king of Syria, and then together they come against the king of Judah. Now, one thing that, just in passing here, Mr. Armstrong in the U.S. and Britain in prophecy, he refers to this passage to show that by this point, Israel and Judah were two very separate nations operating on their own. You remember the split. You should, if you know a little bit of Bible prophecy, following the death of Solomon. Jeroboam and Rehoboam split. You've got the northern 10 tribes. And then you've got what became the nation of Judah in the south. And both of these nations, Judah and Israel, went into captivity separately. And they were separated by over 100 years. Obviously, we know where the Jews are today. But what about those lost tribes of Israel? We'll just go back to this history for a moment to talk about. They couldn't, verse 5 says that they couldn't quite overpower Ahaz. They couldn't overcome him or conquer him. And so in verse 6, it says, at the time, Rezin, king of Syria, recovered Elath to Syria and drove the Jews from Elath. And the Syrians came to Elath and dwelt there unto this day. So this is the first place in the Bible where the name Jews is used. And again, this is something Mr. Armstrong referred to repeatedly. So now let's move over to the book of Isaiah. We've been focusing some of our recent studies on Isaiah's prophecies. And what I just read to you there in 2 Kings 16 gives us some good background to what's discussed here in chapter 7 of Isaiah. Isaiah 7 and verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, that Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, went up toward Jerusalem to war against it and could not prevail against it." So the same history, in other words, that we just read about in 2 Kings 16. And it says in verse 2, "And it was told the house of David, saying, Syria is confederate with Ephraim." It refers to Israel, interestingly enough. It refers to Israel as Ephraim. And then, of course, the house of David was there in Judah. Judah revolved around the throne of David. But at that time, there was a wicked king on that throne, as I just said. It says, "And his heart was moved, and the heart of the people, as the trees of the wood are moved with the wind." So here is Ephraim, as I say, the 10 tribes. And then the house of David really trembled at the thought of going up against Syria and Israel, a formidable foe, this alliance. So verse 3 says, "Then said the Eternal unto Isaiah, Go forth now to meet Ahaz, this king of Judah, you and Shear-Jashub, your son, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool in the highway of the fuller's field." So Isaiah took his son, Shear-Jashub, and they went. His name, by the way, his son's name means remnant shall return. So take your son. This was to be an additional sign that God was to give to Ahaz. And so Isaiah the prophet, he went and met the king at this upper pool and then delivered God's message. You can read some of the detail there in verses 4 to 6. He talks about how that, you know, Syria and Israel are going to barrel down upon Jerusalem. They want to conquer Jerusalem and then divide the spoils among them. Verse 7, it says, "Thus says the Eternal God, it shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass, for the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin. And within 65 years shall Ephraim," or Israel, "be broken." That is not a people, it says. So within 65 years, God prophesies that the Israelites would be completely broken up and taken into Assyrian captivity. And of course, that happened. All of it happened. All of it transpired exactly the way that God said that it would. Verse 10, it says, "Moreover, the Eternal spoke unto Ahaz, saying, Ask you a sign of the Eternal your God. Ask it, either in the depth or in the height above." So Ahaz didn't believe Isaiah the prophet, and so he, like so many other carnal-minded individuals, was seeking after some kind of sign. Verse 12, it says, "But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Eternal." So he really didn't. My father went into this prophecy a while back, just a few weeks ago, where he talked about how that Ahaz really didn't understand the depth of the throne and the vision, certainly not the vision. He was an evil king. So here he was sitting on David's throne, of all things, King David's throne. But he's not about to obey God. And yet God just continues on with his work. That's the way it is. He sends his prophets. He sends them not generally because there's a lot of good things that are worthy of praise in the nation, but because they need to be warned. Because they need God's loving correction. So again, verse 12 says, "But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Eternal." And this response kind of angered the prophet. And he said, "Hear you now, O house of David. Is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will you weary my God also?" So Isaiah, again, he's addressing the house of David, the member of this royal court, this corrupt king. And he goes and gives this sign anyway. Verse 14 says, "Therefore the Eternal himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." So Ahaz rejected the offer and God decided to give him a sign anyway. And what a sign it was. Remember, and you can study this in the United States and Britain in prophecy, but when God had established that covenant with David, the king that he raised up, the king that he chose, God promised. He said that that throne of David would exist forever. And he's right. God is true, and every man is a liar. Those that would say, well, but what? Finally, when Judah went into Babylonian captivity, they lost the throne, and the throne disappeared. No, it didn't. And that's discussed in the United States and Britain in prophecy. And then you can add to this my father's book, The New Throne of David. Everything culminates in the return of Jesus Christ to this earth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is the grand vision that Isaiah the prophet was trying to give to Ahaz, a king on the throne of David. He didn't get the vision, though. What a sign. The word Emmanuel means God with us. God with us. This is a prophecy, of course, of Jesus Christ, the birth of Jesus Christ, the ministry of Jesus Christ. In the first century, he came in the flesh and he dwelt among the disciples. He dwelt among men. He was with his disciples. And God wants to be with us as well. He wants to dwell together with us. What a name, Emmanuel. The prophecy of a child, God with us. As my father was saying recently, this is quite a deep subject. It went right over Ahaz's head. God was telling that king that, look, if God is with you, he will deliver you. But it's so easy to trust in men. Jeremiah 17:5 says, "Cursed be the man who trusts in man." We want to put our faith and our trust and our confidence in God and God alone. That's where we should turn when we come upon all the troubles that we're seeing in our world today, in our nation today, in the Middle East, in the United States, in Britain. Notice Matthew 1 and verse 20. It says, "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Eternal appeared unto him," this is Joseph, "in a dream, saying, Joseph, you son of David, hear not," it says, "fear not to take unto you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit." Jesus had been miraculously conceived by the Holy Spirit, by the power of God. God was his father, as it says all through the New Testament, not a separate entity called the Holy Spirit. That's a pagan doctrine. The Spirit is God's power, just like it says in Luke 1. And it was by the power of God that this woman conceived, this virgin conceived miraculously. And that angel said, "Look, Joseph, don't worry about it. She's a chaste woman. She's a God-fearing woman. Don't put her away." And he didn't. Now, he had some vision. He wanted God to be with his family. Verse 21, it says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." This is how you can be rescued from captivity or be rescued from an attack. This was the sign that the prophet Isaiah gave to King Ahaz on David's throne. And this is the sign that he gives to you and to me. Notice it says, he shall, for he shall save his people from their sins. It always involves coming out of sin, forsaking the ways of sin, coming out of this world and into the family of God. 2 Corinthians 6. It's right there, I think, at the end of that chapter, verse 22. It says, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the eternal by the prophet, that would be the prophet Isaiah, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So this was all to fulfill the prophecy of Isaiah, what God inspired the prophet Isaiah to communicate to Ahaz in Isaiah 7. God with us. Jesus was God as well as man. He came and dwelt among us. This is John 1 and verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He dwelt among us. Let me read to you what Herbert Armstrong wrote in the last work that he produced before dying, Mystery of the Ages. It says, he was subject to being tempted, just as all other humans are tempted. Although he was actually God in the human flesh, yet in his ministry, he functioned as a human. Remember, he was the second Adam. It was necessary for him that he, as a human, reject the forbidden tree and accept the tree of life. It says, it was necessary that he, as the first Adam might have done, choose to rely completely on God the Father. In fact, God was actually in Christ, and Jesus obeyed the Father completely. He qualified to wrest the throne of the earth from Satan. So all of this was necessary for him to qualify to replace Satan on the throne of this earth, to succeed where the first Adam failed, to reject the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and to go after the Father and the tree of life and God's Holy Spirit. God was with Jesus Christ, and as I say, he wants to be with you and me as well. Here again, verse 14 of Isaiah, going back to chapter 7, it says, therefore the Eternal himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. That was a prophecy uttered by Isaiah the prophet. And as we read in Matthew 1, fulfilled in the flesh of Jesus Christ. This is from a sermon Herbert Armstrong gave in 1981. He said, Christ was coming for two main reasons. One, to restore the government of God in the kingdom of God. And the other reason, to be a savior and to save people from their sins and to give people immortal life. Those are the two reasons. There's duality again. Two reasons why Christ was to come. So he came as that first time as that lamb sacrifice. And he also set up and established the church. Then was resurrected from the dead 3 days after his crucifixion. And dozens of prophecies in your Bible speak to that second point Mr. Armstrong brought out. The fact that he's coming back to restore the government of God on earth, to set up the kingdom, God's kingdom on earth. Well, as I said earlier, U.S. and Britain in Prophecy. I mentioned the Isaiah booklet yesterday, by the way, this one by my father. The United States and Britain in Prophecy, a great, great foundational study to just get you to where you can begin to understand prophecy, Bible prophecy. Don't forget about He Was Right. You can call our operators, 1-866-930-3024, 930-3024. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.